We're turning once again tonight to the first epistle of Peter and the chapter 1. With God's word open before us, let us ask his help and his blessing. Father, we come to thee once again tonight, and we do thank thee for the scriptures of truth, thy word in our mother tongue. We thank thee, Lord, that each time we open this book and read therein, it is God himself who is speaking to us. As surely as if the heavens opened and that there was a mighty voice from the most excellent glory, we thank thee that that would be no more thy word than this word in this book that we have before us. It is the inspired, the inerrant, and the infallible word of the living God. As we approach it tonight, help us to approach it with deep reverence. Help us to listen to it with deep reverence. As reverent as we would be, and as awestruck as we would be if we were to hear thy voice from heaven. Lord, may we listen to thy word with a holy awe on our souls. And we pray that thou wilt help us to preach thy word with a holy awe on our souls. What a tremendous responsibility to preach the word of God. Help us, Lord. Grant us the help of the Holy Spirit, both in the preaching and in the hearing of the word. And bless us and do us good now for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to direct your attention tonight for a little while to the verses 18 and 19 of this first chapter of 1 Peter. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And my subject for tonight is the precious blood of Christ. Peter says that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. Dear friends, there is nothing more precious in all of God's creation than the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is more precious and of more value than not only all this world and all that in it is, but it is of more value than all the worlds in all of creation put together. The blood of Christ is more valuable, not only more valuable than this lower creation, but it is more valuable than heaven itself. And how valuable a place heaven is. What wonderful descriptions we have of heaven. It speaks of the gates hung with pearls, the foundations with precious stones, the streets with gold. And even this language, I believe, is just an effort to give us a little inkling and understanding of the beauty, the splendor, the wonder, the value of heaven. But, dear friends, valuable as heaven is, though it is of untold value, yet if you take all the wealth and the fullness and the splendor of heaven and earth and the whole universe and all great God's creation, there's nothing so precious as the blood of Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There are many things that are said to be precious in the Bible. And even the very blood of the lower creature, the brute animal, is precious in the sight of God. Because we find that, we read in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. That's something that some need to lay to heart. I'm afraid I haven't a whole lot of time for blood sports. Now, I eat my steak, I had a good steak for my dinner. But I can't understand the relationship of the words blood and sport. How anybody can get sport out of killing God's creatures, I don't know. Of course, that probably goes back to my youth. My father used to breed homing pigeons, and every now and again we would get some bird dropped down onto the loft with its legs broken, full of buckshot, is that what you call it? Some sportsman shot it, and a homing pigeon wouldn't fly out of your way. But there you go. Even the blood of the brute beast is precious to God. And of course, the blood of man is precious to God. And that's why God tells us, if a man sheds a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And the blood of the saints is precious to God. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. But of all these precious things, there is nothing so precious as the blood of Christ. You see, dear friends, the blood of Christ is precious because it is the blood of a divine person. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul says to the elders of the church of Ephesus, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." There are a lot of people who would like to take that verse out of the Bible, because it proves the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, dear friend, that he who died on Calvary's cross was God manifest in the flesh. He who shed his life's blood was God of very God. And the book says that his blood was the blood of God. Of course it was the blood of the God-man. It couldn't be the blood of the Son of God in his original state, because in his pre-incarnation state he was spirit, and the spirit can't bleed. And to this end, the Lord Jesus took into union with himself a human body and a human soul for the purpose to offer himself a sacrifice for sin, for the purpose that he might be able to shed his blood for our redemption. So this blood is precious because it is the blood of a divine person. It's the blood of God. It is precious because of its purchasing power, or if you like, its redeeming qualities. We are not redeemed with such things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. So saith the scriptures, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." So you see, dear friends, without the shed blood of Christ, we are all under the law. And if we are under the law, then we are under the curse of the law. But bless God, the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood to redeem us from under the curse of the law. So his blood is precious because it is the blood of a divine person. It is precious because of its redeeming qualities. And it's precious because of its atoning power. "Nothing can for sin atone," says the hymn writer. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That word atonement enfolds and implies a covering. The Hebrew word used for atonement, and from which we get the word atonement, means a covering. And dear friends, that's what the precious blood of Christ does for us. It covers over the sin of the believer so that it is no longer seen by Almighty God. That's a wonderful thing. That's quite a covering. For remember, God's eye is an all-seeing eye. And God can see all things and everything. But my friend, God cannot see the sins of the believer which are covered with the precious blood of Christ. If you're saved here tonight, maybe you're very conscious of your sin. That's not a bad thing, to be conscious of your sin. It keeps you humble. It keeps you going continually to the foot of the old rugged cross and seeking cleansing from your sin. And it keeps you going to God in the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need and grace to live the Christian life and overcome your sin. But my friend, don't be depressed about it. When God looks upon you, he sees no sin, for he sees you in Christ. And you are, if you're saved, redeemed, covered. Your sins are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And even the all-seeing eye of God cannot see your sin. Cannot see your sin. I think it was Nicholson that on one occasion it's reported that he was at a meeting. It was a prayer meeting. And some dear brother in the meeting was groaning and complaining in prayer over his sin. And Nicholson listened as long as he could. And I've never heard Mr. Nicholson, but I've heard about Mr. Nicholson, and I believe he was quite a rough man. He had a rough tongue. He's the man that prayed that Dr. Paisley, that God would give him a tongue like an old cow. And he had a tongue like an old cow. And he was a rough, crude man. And he turned to the brother praying and bemoaning his sin, and he says, "Ah, shut up, man. God doesn't know what you're talking about. Your sins are gone. He doesn't see your sin." And so this word atonement means to cover. And it also indicates to appease. And the blood of Christ is precious because in atoning for our souls, it not only covers our sins, but it appeases the wrath of Almighty God. God is no longer angry with those who believe in his dear Son and who have had the atoning blood applied. The word also indicates reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And praise God, those whose sins are atoned for are no longer under the wrath of God, but they're reconciled to God. They're no longer the enemies of God, but they're made friends, the friends of God. You know, I was just thinking this morning, some folk going out and say, "They didn't know what to call me." Some of them have known me for quite a while, and they didn't know whether to say, "Morning, Reverend," or what. And one brother said to me, "It's all right to call you Billy." He says, "It's most certainly all right to call me Billy. He knew me as Billy, and although a lot of you know me as Billy, that's fine by me." I felt like saying to him, "You know, my friends call me Billy. And people, associates that know me, call me William. But the Lord calls me friend." For he says, "Ye are my friends. Ye are my friends." Why? Because when the blood is applied, my sin is covered and your sin is covered. God's wrath is appeased. And we are reconciled to God. But this word atonement means much more than covering and appeasement and reconciliation. It also means forgiveness and remission of sins. The sins are not only covered, but they are forgiven. They're forgiven. Oh, how wonderful this is. How precious is the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for our sin and obtains for us a covering for our sin, that appeases the wrath of God, that reconciles us to a holy God, that procures for us forgiveness and remission of sins. And this forgiveness can't be obtained without this precious blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission So it is precious then. This blood is precious because it's the blood of a divine person. It's precious because of its redeeming qualities. It's precious because of its atoning power. But it's also precious because of its power to cleanse. You see, that's a step forward, you know. Bless God, when a sinner believes in Jesus, the blood of Christ not only covers his sin, and the blood of Christ not only obtains for him forgiveness and remission, but the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. It exfoliates the sin. It washes the sin away. It washes away the filth and the rottenness of our sins. Makes us clean, every bit clean. What can wash away my sins, says the writer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, you know, the Lord does a good job on us whenever he saves us. Covers over our sins. He reconciles us to God. He obtains forgiveness of sins for us. And he washes away the stain of sin. So that our sin is totally gone, even the stain of it. Not just the guilt of it, not just the penalty for it, but the stain of sin is gone through the cleansing power of the precious blood. The blood of Christ is precious because it cleanses. But it's precious because of its protecting and preserving power. You remember the night of the Passover in Egypt, when the angel of death passed over and smote all the firstborn of the Egyptians. It didn't smite or kill the firstborn of the Israelites. Why? Because they had the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts and on the lintels of their home. And God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the blood of Christ is precious because it protects us and it preserves us. And we shall never, never undergo or feel the wrath of God on account of sin. It protects us. And when this world is consumed in the fires and flames of God and all the ungodly with it, those who are under the blood will be protected and preserved. I remember an American preacher, Giler, Marion Giler, his name. I get like that now and again, you know. Names sort of skip out of my head. That happened on one occasion. I was talking to a very nice young lady, young nurse, and I forgot a name, and I said, oh, I'm having a senior moment. She says, no, Mr. Whiteside, you're only having an intellectual pause. I like that. So I've nearly had an intellectual pause there. Marion Giler, you all know Marion Giler. I remember I preached for him and in his church in America, and I had him over in my church in Kilkeel in those days, preaching for me. And I remember him preaching on that text, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he says, man, you know, I am glad that the blood is applied to my heart. For you see, whenever I grow old, or if I grow old, my mind might go, and I might not know who I am, or what I am doing, or what I am saying. And we all know that happens. I know of a dear man who was an open-air preacher. He wasn't a minister or a pastor, but he used to do a lot of open-air preaching in Kilkeel. And before he was saved, he lived a rough life, but he was wonderfully saved. He was a new person, a new creation in Christ, and he preached the gospel. But towards the end of his days, his mind went. And he sadly was blaspheming and cursing in that mental state. But Mr. Giler said, and I never forgot it, I'm glad the blood's applied to my heart, for whenever I get old, or if I get old, and my mind goes, and I don't know what I'm saying or what I'm doing, the Lord says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Oh, praise God for the blood applied It is precious because of its protecting, preserving power. And it is precious because of its pleading power. It speaks better things than that of Abel's. Abel's blood cried out for revenge unto God. God said to his brother, Cain, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me. It cried out for revenge. But the blood of Christ cries out to God for the believing sinner, for their pardon, for their cleansing, for their forgiveness, for their salvation. And bless God, that blood prevails. It has pleading power, and it prevails with God. And God listens to that pleading of the blood of Christ when it is applied to the believer's heart. It's precious because of the peace it brings to the troubled soul. Oh, what peace the blood of Christ brings to the troubled soul. It's a terrible thing, you know, when we are awakened to a consciousness of our sin and we begin to feel the guilt of our sin. And we begin to feel the fileness of our sin and the filth of our sin. My, our sin has tormenting power. And many, many go through times of deep distress because of an awakened conscience. Their sleep goes from them. They can find no enjoyment or pleasure in anything in the world. And their minds are troubled. But when the blood is applied, a wonderful peace enters into the heart when they know their sins are forgiven. Oh, precious is that flow that makes as white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's precious because of the abundant access that it gives us unto God. There was a time, you know, when only the high priest could enter in beyond the field, and that but once a year. And he couldn't even do that without the blood of the sacrifice. It was the blood that gave him entrance. If he went in without the blood, he'd have been smitten, struck down dead. But of course, it was only the blood of a beast. It was symbolic of the blood of the Lamb of God, symbolic of the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. But only the high priest could enter into the most holy place, into the presence of God. And he could only do that once a year. But now, bless God, because Jesus has died on Calvary's cross and given himself a sacrifice for our sin, because his precious blood is shed for the atonement of our sin, all who believe in him now can enter into the very presence of God through the merits of Christ's precious blood. It gives us access, it gives us entrance into the presence of God. And now the believer can talk with God as a man talks with his friend through the precious blood of Christ. It is precious because of its sanctifying power. You see, the blood of Christ not only cleanses us from all guilt and from all pollution of sin, but there is no greater incentive to holiness than to know that Christ had to suffer and die for every sin that we commit. Now that has a sanctifying power. Whenever we realize that, we do not find pleasure in sin that brought our Savior so much pain. And therefore we avoid sin. Those who use the doctrine of justification by sovereign grace through faith in Christ alone as an excuse for sin. I remember going into a shop in the town here as a young Christian, and the people that owned the shop, it was a corner shop, were supposed to be Christians, and they were selling things that I didn't think they should sell, and amongst them were magazines that were impure, to say the least. And I challenged them in my youthful days. I did that sort of thing. I often got into trouble. And I said to them, I thought you were Christian. Oh, we are. Well, what are you doing selling those magazines? That impure literature. Do you know what they said to me? To the pure, all things are pure. In other words, if you're saved, you can live like the devil. That's a lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense. That's a perversion of Scripture. Yes, it was a Scripture quote, but it was a perversion of Scripture. It was a rendering of the Scripture out of its whole context and giving it a totally different meaning from that which was meant and intended by the Holy Spirit of God who penned it or inspired it. Let me tell you, dear friends, this great truth of cleansing through the blood, atonement through the blood of Christ, is a great incentive to holy living. You remember Joseph? The story of Joseph, that is. And when his master's wife laid hold on Joseph and would have forced him into an adulterous, sinful situation, what did Joseph say? I will not do this thing and sin against my master. And he fled, leaving his garment in her hand. And so it is with the Christian. We who are cleansed and washed in the precious blood, when we're tempted to sin, and we remember the sufferings of our Savior on the cross, and we remember that awful cry of agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We flee from sin, and we say, I will not do this thing that cost my Savior so dear to obtain pardon for me. Precious, the blood of Christ. It's precious because of its overcoming power. We read in the book of Revelation concerning the redeemed in glory that they overcame through the blood of the Lamb. We overcome through Jesus' blood. You see, if it wasn't for the powerful cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, we would succumb. We would give up. Because you see, we're always sinning against God. Hopefully not willfully, not deliberately, not intentionally. And when we sin, we're grieved. But we're always sinning. There's no such thing as sinless perfection this side of eternity. We're always sinning. But praise God, when we sin and our sin is made known to us by the Holy Spirit, and we grieve over it, we go to that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and there we wash afresh from all our sins, and we persevere in the path of holiness, and thereby we overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. His blood is precious. His precious. Of course, you may be saying here tonight, well, that's very interesting, and it's good to know that. But what has that to do with me? What implications are there for me from the fact that the blood of Christ is precious, so precious? Well, for one thing, dear friends, it tells us and teaches us the value of the human soul. If God, in order to redeem us, paid such a high price in order to our redemption and our salvation, how valuable the human soul must be. Remember, we are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver or gold. Silver and gold could not redeem us. And if you had all the silver and gold in the world, you could not procure redemption and salvation by that means. Did the Lord Jesus not say, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, dear friends, you have a soul tonight. And it's most precious. It's so precious that in order to redeem it and save it, Christ had to shed his precious blood. Yet so many live as though they have no soul. Live as though if they recognize the existence of a soul, that it is of no value. They trade their soul for the devil's trinkets. Whenever the first white people went over into the United States, what is now the United States, to the Americas, they bought precious land of the Indians for glass beads. So the devil gives many's a man, many's a woman, glass beads for his or her soul. They sell their souls for a moment of sin and the pleasures of sin and the things that will win. They sell their souls. And some sell out very cheaply. Oh, the devil will only give you glass beads. But Christ gave his blood to redeem your soul. You have a soul, and you have a soul that is immortal, a soul that will live as long as God lives. There was a time when your soul came into being, but there never will be a time when your soul will cease to be. You will die one of these days if the Lord tarries, and your body will go down into the grave, but your soul will not die, neither will it sleep. Your soul will continue on, and it'll live on for all eternity. Where will it live? In heaven with God or in hell without him? You have a soul. A soul that is of more value than the whole world. A soul that can be lost. And if it's lost, it cannot be redeemed. The only thing that can redeem the soul is the precious blood of Christ. So if you gained the whole world, it would not be sufficient to purchase redemption for you. God is said to have found a ransom. Ransom for the souls of men. And that ransom is the precious blood of Christ. You are a slave to Satan and to sin, whether you like to acknowledge it or not. Such you are. You're born a sinner, born dead in trespass and sins, born under the thraldom of the devil. You're like a slave in the slave market, and that's the underlying idea of redemption. It's to purchase out of the slave market by paying a price. And you cannot pay that price. You're shackled by the devil and sin, but Jesus came and he paid the price of your redemption, and that price was his precious blood. Oh, this teaches us the value of the human soul. You have a soul that is immortal, a soul that will live as long as God lives, a soul that can be lost, and a soul, if it is lost at last in hell forever, it can never be retrieved. All who enter hell, read above the gates of hell, abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Oh, how precious is your soul that you're playing with, and you're in danger of losing it. But our text and our subject teaches us not only the value of the human soul, but it teaches us the depth of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I tell you, The precious blood of Christ and the shedding of that precious blood not only teaches us the value of the soul, but it teaches us the depth and the extent of the love of God for sinners. That God would give the most precious thing, not only in heaven, but in all of creation, in order to procure your salvation. Does that not reveal the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of love for you? It reveals to us the horrors of hell. Hell must be an awful place for the Son of God to pay such a high price to redeem us and deliver us from it. And I haven't words to describe the horrors of hell, but I'll tell you this, hell is real. Hell is real. Thinking upon the subject of hell, I feel and think the essence of hell is seen in the words of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken me. There's the essence of hell. Oh, hell's real. Hell's a place of torment. But the greatest horror of hell is to be forsaken of God. The Lord Jesus never cried out under any of the rest of his sufferings. But this one thing. When his soul was made an offering for sin, he died in our stead. He says, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you, dear friends, the fact that God would give such a price for your redemption and my redemption teaches us the value of your soul. It teaches us the depth of God's love, and it teaches us the horrors of hell, and it teaches us the folly and the wickedness of the heart that rejects such a Savior. My friend, if you reject such a Savior who's given so much for you, let me say it and say it lovingly, if you do so, you deserve to go to hell. I don't care how good your life has been to your fellow man. I don't care how honest and moral and upright you may have been. You may be a pillar of society. But if you reject God's offer of mercy in Christ, you deserve to go to hell. This is the greatest crime you could commit. Let me tell you, dear friends, there are people in heaven tonight who have been forgiven every crime and every sin under heaven that you can think of. Murder, adultery, theft, all manner of sin and iniquity, they've been forgiven. But my friend, those who do not believe in Jesus will not be forgiven. God doesn't forgive the sin of unbelief if it's persisted in. Oh, we've all been guilty of unbelief for a period, but if it's persisted in and we finally reject God's offer of mercy in Christ, we'll never be forgiven. The sin of rejecting Christ, the sin of unbelief, refusal to believe in Jesus, the sin of refusing such a sacrifice and such a redemption as is in Christ will bring you down into the deepest hell. No matter how nice a person you may be. Tell me, is the blood of Christ precious to you tonight? Do you thank God for it? Have you been to that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? Have you plunged beneath that flood and washed away all your guilty sins? Then be grateful to God and show by a life of devotion to Him your gratitude for His shedding of His precious blood for you. But if you haven't yet washed in that fountain, may you come tonight and may you wash and make your guilty soul clean and fit for heaven. It's open. It's still open. The invitation still goes out. Will you come? Will you trust him? Will you wash in that precious blood? Be safe for all eternity. If you will, you may. If you will not, that's your choice. And if you do not, before you pass out of the scene of time, you'll be lost. And not only so, but my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you could say no tonight for the last time to God's offer of mercy. And though you live for another 100 years, you're as sure of hell as if you were in it. May you close with God's offer of mercy tonight before it is forever too late. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all sin, that redeems us from the curse of the law, that reconciles us to God, that makes us fit for heaven, that atones for our sin and obtains reconciliation and remission of sins for us. O Lord, we thank thee for everyone who's been to that fountain. If there's any here tonight and haven't yet been to that fountain, may they come now and make their garments white in the blood of the Lamb. Part us now with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.